Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to this world? I want to be a tool in the hand of God making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day, and that is what this show is all about. And I'm so glad you could join us today. Oh, we got a good one. But before we get into it, it is time for Viewer Mail. Our letter today coming from Melody, and I didn't write down, I don't remember exactly where she's from. Dear Father Chapin, after reading July's newsletter, I felt that I should write you in regards to Stormy. You said that she acts like a dog. She may have picked up some canine characteristics as a small kitten. Who knows where she came from before you found her? I'm sure she lost her mother too soon and wasn't taught how to be a feline. I think that she has some separation anxiety, and that's why she wants to be with you all the time. You are her substitute mother or father. Most cats ignore you. You may want to distract them with a toy while you're putting on your pants. I feel God placed this animal in your care to help you with your ministry. Okay. She's bonded with you, so try to be patient with her. Okay. Think of her as a child. I know she seems annoying, but she'll only be here a little while. Enjoy her while you can. You will miss her when she is gone. Good luck, Melody. Well, Melody, you know, I will keep that in mind the next time she gets my gander up. What do you say? We focus and put ourselves in the presence of God. God's got a lesson for you today, my friend. The question is, are you ready to hear it? We're going to school. Are you ready to be the student? We are hearing from the Gospel of Luke, 16th chapter, first 13 verses. Jesus said to his disciples, a rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and he said, what is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship because you can no longer be my steward. The steward said to himself, what shall I do? Now that my master has taken the position of steward away from me, I'm not strong enough to dig and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do so that when I'm removed from the stewardship, they will welcome me into their homes. He called in the master's debtors, one by one. To the first he said, how much do you owe my master? He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, here's your promissory note. Sit down, quickly write one for 50. Then to another, the steward said, and how much do you owe? He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, here's your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourself with dishonest wealth so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. The person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If therefore you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. The Gospel of the Lord. Wow. And what a gospel it is. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You calling the kids. It's going to be good. We'll be right back. And we're going to talk about this gospel and a few other things along the way here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Today, we're going to be talking about money. It's a subject that Jesus discusses often. Out of the 40 parables that Jesus gives us in the Bible, 11 of them are about money. That's more than one out of four. That's more than faith and prayer combined. Jesus makes it very clear that how we handle money is tied to our salvation. Speaking of salvation, the great evangelist, St. Paul, wrote that we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I want you to let that sink in for a moment. Working out your salvation with fear and trembling. What would that even look like, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling? Fear of the Lord. According to Proverbs, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, yet we live in a world that has lost its sense of fear of the Lord. And as far as working out our salvation with fear and trembling, we might go to church, you know, some of us twice a year, Easter and Christmas, you know, just kind of checking in. Or maybe we say a grace over our meals, or maybe we give to charities if we can get a tax credit. But where is the fear and trembling in that? As I said, I fear that our world has lost its sense of fear of the Lord. As we have created this sort of hybrid God of love and compassion who is sitting around waiting to answer our prayers. And if we're reasonably good people, we'll get to go to heaven someday or some version of that. But you know what you never hear about? People never talk about judgment. No, we don't like that word, judgment. But our God is a God of judgment. And one of his many laws, I'm talking about divine law now, I'm talking about law that always was, always is, always will be. One of his laws is that the wages of sin is death, period. No exceptions, no plea agreements, no probation. Your sin will separate you from the love of your Father for eternity. That is divine law. Now, some might say, well, isn't that what Jesus is for? You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. So whoever believes in him shall never die but have eternal life. I mean, isn't that what the guy at the football game is trying to say? We might say to ourselves, well, you know, I'm good. I mean, I'm not perfect, but, you know, good enough. But where is the fear and trembling in that? You know, years ago, I was watching this movie. I can't remember what it was called, doesn't matter. But it took place in World War II. And it was about some Jewish people who were trying to escape from the Nazis. And they're hiding in the woods. And it's dark, damp, cold, it's uncomfortable. And they're full of fear because flashlights are coming through the trees and they know if they're captured, they will be put to death. So here they are, they're hiding from the enemy. Meanwhile, a commando group of soldiers, highly trained, who knew those woods well, had committed to risking their lives to go into those woods to rescue those people and lead them out to safety. Now, I want you to put yourself in these woods. Like I said, it's dark, it's cold, it's wet, and you know that death lurks all around you. I got two questions. Number one, would you understand fear and trembling then? And number two, if those soldiers, you know, the ones who are willing to risk their lives to save you, if they found you, would you follow them out of the woods? Would you take direction from them? Or would you want to debate them? You know, ask for terms and conditions? Or how about this? If they were to ask you to do something very difficult, would you do it? Remember now, this is life and death. What would your attitude be like then? My friends, that is fear and trembling. And we are living today in dark woods. The enemy lurks all around us. Jesus has risked and lost his life to save us and lead us out of these woods, rescue us from eternal death. And he's asking us to follow him carefully, completely, no reservations. Those Jews hiding in the woods were working out their salvation with fear and trembling. And by following the direction of those soldiers who were willing to lay down their lives to save them, they were led out of the dark woods. What are we doing in our dark woods? Jesus has given us a map to lead us out of these woods. It's called the Bible. Read the directions. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling by carefully listening to the man who is willing to lay down his life to lead you out of these woods. Last week, we talked about the prodigal son, which you got to say is probably the most famous parable of all the parables in the Bible. I mean, even people who've never read it know the prodigal son. Only found in the Gospel of Luke, often referred to as the Gospel of Mercy. Chapter 15 brings us the lost sheep, the lost coin, the prodigal son, all testifying to the fact that Jesus came to find the lost. This is his mission, to lead people out of the dark woods. So that was last week. This week we begin chapter 16 of Luke with a parable that might qualify for the least popular of all the parables in the Bible. In fact, most people probably haven't even heard of it, mainly because preachers don't like to preach it, because people don't want to hear it, which is one of the beautiful things about the Catholic Church. Because understand this, I don't get to pick what we read on Sundays. Rome does that, which is probably a good thing, because I believe I might have taken a pass with this one. A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. So right away, that word squandering connects us with last week's prodigal son. If you recall, the prodigal son squandered his inheritance. Now we have the steward squandering the property of his master. So he's called on the carpet. He is so busted. What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account for your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward. So he's fired. But then he's asked to give a full account on his way out, which is a bit odd. I mean, today security would be escorting this man out of the building, but that's not what happens. So the steward gets to thinking, what shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig. I am ashamed to beg. And here we see the hatchings of a scheme. And I love the way it starts. I know what I shall do, so that when I'm removed from my stewardship, they may welcome me into their home. So my first question is, who's the they? Well, the they turns out to be the master's debtors. These are people of influence that own their own businesses in town. So he calls them in one by one. To the first, he says, how much do you owe my master? And he says, 100 measures of oil, which is a huge amount. Probably took more than 100 olive trees to produce such an amount. It represents about 3 years' worth of wages. So this is a huge amount, an impossible debt. And the steward says, here, take your note, sit down quickly, and write one for 50. Wow, half off. And did you notice how he tells him to do it quickly? Because he's in a hurry. Because this is the nature of thievery. Do it quick while nobody's looking. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You hang out. We'll be right back. And we will continue to talk about this amazing gospel here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Now, just for the break, we have our dishonest steward. He's cutting deals. He's securing his future with dishonest wealth. He calls in another debtor. And how much do you owe, my master? He says, 100 cores of wheat. Again, this is a fantastically huge amount. Impossible debt. This would require 1,000 acres of wheat. Here's your promissory note. Write one for 80. Now our gospel takes a strange turn. Because now it says, and the master commended the dishonest steward for acting prudently. Or as the King James Version puts it, shrewdly. The Greek word is thronomos, which means a well-devised or wise plan, which is a bit odd. You would think that the master would be calling the sheriff. But don't worry, it gets more confusing, because the next thing you know, Jesus says, for the children of the world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than the children of light. Excuse me? What did he just say? Is Jesus commending a thief? Well, let's consider the world. Let's look at the children of this world, referred to elsewhere as a perverted generation, still elsewhere a wicked generation. The children of this world are involved in every scheme under the sun in regards to securing our future. Motored by the rocket fuel of both ego and personal ambition. Sign here, do it quickly. Remember Bernie Madoff, guaranteed you 20%. Sign here, do it quickly. And it's everywhere. Even the TV preacher, send in your money and you will be blessed. We live in a world where variations of today's parable are as common as rain. And the dishonest steward is running wild. Yet Jesus says these people operate to secure their future better than we do. So I got two questions. Number one, how are they doing this? And number two, okay, well, then what do we need to do? Well, fortunately for us, Jesus gives us directions, which is why I suggest you read the directions. He says, I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Dishonest wealth, translated as mammon of iniquity. Now notice, Jesus says, make friends for yourself with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, why? Because it always does. It always fails. Which means if you are securing your future in the temporal, you have no future. For it will fail. I'm reminded of the rich fool. Remember him? filling up his barns to eat, drink, and be merry. And then God shows up and says, you fool, tonight your life will be demanded of you. And all that stuff that you've been laboring for to secure your future will be squandered by others. You know, I have been through Europe. I've had the opportunity to drive around a little bit. And you know, when you drive around Europe, you know what you'll never see? Never. Storage units. Storage units, that is a uniquely American thing. Because you can drive down any highway in this country and see a storage unit about every 10 miles. Why? Because we got so much stuff, we don't know where to put it. When Jesus says it's harder for a rich man to pass through the eye of a needle than to enter the kingdom of God, we as a nation are that rich man. And our mammon of iniquity will fail. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not saying that all rich people are doomed for the smoking section. Because it is not about how much money you have. It's about where your heart is. Because wherever that is, that's where your treasure is. Money is not the root of all evil. It is the love of money that causes the problem. Faithful people are faithful people, whether they have little or they have much. It's not a question of amount. Make friends with dishonest wealth so that you can secure your heavenly dwelling. What Jesus is saying is we need to use our wealth to join his mission. And his mission, in case you forgot, is to lead people out of the dark woods. Now, I suppose now would be a perfect time for me to say, so why not send in a check to Daily Living? But, I mean, if you ever hear me say that, just change the channel. But since I brought it up, we do get checks every day from people who are supporting this mission. We are fully funded by viewership. And it all goes to the mission, which, like I said, is to carry the message and lead people out of the woods. So we get big checks. We get little checks. I get letters from people on fixed income that cannot send any money, but are praying for this ministry every day. My friends, they are a part of this mission. They are carrying the message. They are working out their salvation with fear and trembling. I get letters from prisoners who share with me how that they share with their cellmates in the cell block, the Daily Living scripts. They're part of the mission. They're carrying the message. They're working out their salvation with fear and trembling. I got letters from people that tell me how they invite their neighbors that live across the hall over on Sunday morning to watch Daily Living with tea and donuts. They're part of the mission. They're carrying the message. They're working out their salvation with fear and trembling. They are securing their eternal dwelling, because you know what's better than heaven, my friend? Bringing somebody with you. And that is what this gospel is all about. It's about making friends in this world to bring with you to eternal dwellings. Our world is trying to secure its future in the mammon of iniquity, but that is no future. It will fail. We need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, because we know that there is a future promised to us beyond these dark woods. And Jesus is making it very clear today how we handle our money is very much involved in that path. The person who is untrustworthy in small matters is also untrustworthy in great ones. The one who's dishonest in small matters is also dishonest in great ones. We could do a whole show on nothing but these two verses. In fact, we did. It's called The Parable of the Talents. And the short of that is that Jesus has given you a talent, my friend. What are you doing with it? Have you buried it in the ground? If so, you're a fool. The biggest myth when it comes to money is the fallacy that we think it's ours, and it's not. All the money you have was here long before you ever got here, and it will be here long after you're gone. The only question is, what kind of steward will you be? Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. He will hate one and be devoted to the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Again, hear me when I say, this is not about how much or little you have when it comes to money. It's about what do you worship the most. It's not about money. It's about the love of money. And if you are a lover of money in the here and now, there is no future for you outside of these dark woods. This world uses the temporal to secure its future, and they do it well. According to Jesus, they do it better than we do. But that's not our future. Jesus came to lead us out of these dark woods. He came to give us peace. It's a peace that goes beyond all understanding. What are we doing today to secure that future? Yes, my friend, as a child of the light, what am I doing to secure my eternal future? Is fear and trembling involved? Where is my heart? Because wherever that is, that's where my treasure is. We are all living in the dark woods. And if this causes you zero fear and trembling, well, you might want to take another look at that. A lost sheep does not find its way home. But the good news about the good news is that we have a shepherd, and he knows the way out of these woods. In fact, he's left us directions. Let us follow him out of these woods today. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. Remember, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.